today on Real Radio.
There's a lot of Christians who have life, okay, but they can't reproduce other Christians. Why? Because they've sacrificed their power on the altar of pleasure. For what? 5 minutes? For what? 6 weeks? If you are a Christian or you believe in God and you won't repent of that, God says, just be sure of this then. Your sin will find you out.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called So How's It Going? Part 3 continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In parts 1 and 2 of So How's It Going? From Isaiah chapter 3, we learned that there's a spiritual law that is unbreakable. Obedience to God brings about blessings. And in the end, there's a reward for keeping on the right path. But Isaiah warns us that the opposite is also true. When we're disobedient towards God, His blessing can be withheld. And now in part 3, we'll continue to see how the things of this world can so easily possess us. And when a nation walks in disobedience against God, trouble will soon follow. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God will leave us to ourselves when in our rebellion we continue time and again to allow our disobedience to override our wisdom. And soon our hearts are hardened to the point where God removes His hand of protection, and those things we hold on to that are precious to us are taken away. And now continuing his lesson called So How's It Going? Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 22, skip down a little bit. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. Isn't that not true? He will die for a lack of self-control. Young people tonight, listen. He will die, you will die, for a lack of self-control. Oh man, I just had to have her. Oh, I just had to have him. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. Sexual promiscuity and immorality that's mentioned here in verses 16 to 17 is in our culture. It's celebrated. You say, Jack, you're being kind of heavy, aren't you? Oh, no, no. How about this? Somebody puts their sex tapes or whatever it is, footage on video on the internet, and there's a million hits in a minute. And somebody announces that they're a virgin and they're going to keep themselves until marriage, and that person is vilified, nearly crucified. This nation is gone. There's no recovery for the United States of America unless God's people repent. There's no hope for the wicked unless we get our act together. The gospel is compromised. God will not use a person whose life is tainted with that kind of stuff. And if you think you're getting away with it, you're not getting away with it. This is a serious thing. The church today, by far, look, we sit in counseling with people. The overriding number one issue that's destroying marriages today is sexual promiscuity, i.e., number one, pornography. For some reason, men think that if it's on the screen, it's not adultery, or it's not sexual immorality, or it's okay somehow. That's deception, satanic deception. It destroys you from the inside out. It will get inside of you, and it will come out of you, and it can lead to death. It will certainly destroy your marriage. And now we read that 27% of America's women are involved in pornography. Highest record, highest number ever known. Unbelievable. No wonder why God is going to soon, very soon if He hasn't already, begin to take away our wants. Because we can't handle freedom, we can't handle liberty without God.
Well, it's available.
Uh-huh. So are rattlesnakes. Go in the hills. Okay, just wait till summer, I guess, right? And you can just pick any kind of rattler you want. They're available. You gonna go give a diamondback rattlesnake a kiss on the...
Well, no, that's stupid.
Sexual immorality, pornography will destroy you. If you're here tonight, or if you're listening or watching right now and you've got that in your life, you better deal with it. Jesus said it would be better for you to have blindness regarding such things than to enter the have your sight and use it for such things and go into hell like that. It'd be better for you to be blind and not look and get to heaven. Besides that, you know what? The biggest thing of all, a lot of people don't realize this. I'm spending way too much time on this, but maybe God wants me to spend time on this. Listen, number one thing, here's the deal. And I want to say this publicly, just so you'll know, because I told you before, but it's always good to say it again. I don't do pornography. I will not. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. First of all, my wife is awesome. Yes. Number two, there's something greater than my wife for me. Let's be honest. Like Augustine said, I can live, now that I'm a Christian, he said, I can live any kind of life I want, but I want to live for God. Yes. So watch, if I were to click once, I'd still go to heaven. I'd still go to heaven. You can't lose your salvation over that. That's not, but here's the thing I will not do. By God's grace, no way. Is this. God told me years and years and years ago, Jack, I'll love you no matter what you do. But here's the deal. You click, or you look, or you do. And do you remember what happened to Solomon? Yes, Lord. He got his hair cut. And you say, well, it's just a haircut. You should know your Bible better than that. With the haircut, that was a symbol. God took his power away. Listen, many of you men and women in here are powerless. You're going to heaven, but you're going to heaven limping. You're not going to heaven victorious. You're not going to heaven taking others with you like Daniel chapter 12 begs of you to do. You're not bringing others with you. You know why? You're going to heaven, but you are like, is it a mule that's sterile? Is a mule sterile? Somebody, come on, there's enough farmers, ranchers, thank you. Are they sexless or just, they're sexless, a mule?
No, they have sex, they just cannot reproduce.
They have a gender, but they cannot reproduce is what I was told. I don't know, I'm just telling you what I was just told. Here's the story. There's a lot of Christians who have life, okay, but they can't reproduce other Christians. Why? Because they've sacrificed their power on the altar of pleasure. For what? 5 minutes? For what? 6 weeks? No way, man. You know what? Jesus died to rescue me from a life you will never know about. And if he wouldn't have at the age of 19, I'd have been dead by now. Let me tell you. There is no way I'm going to sacrifice any little bit of power that I might have by the gracious, merciful power of God to serve him for a peek. Sir, wake up. It may be that God will have mercy on your soul and you repent and walk away from it. And maybe in God's grace, he'll grant you power to proclaim his truth and to stand for him like a light in shining armor. This is what God wants for men and women in our culture today. But when we have an altar and go there and make a sacrifice in secret, Jesus said, just remember this. Whatever you've done in secret, it shall be announced from the housetops. If that scares you tonight, and I hope it does, I hope it scares you to the core and causes you to repent tonight. God is so amazing because he says if you listen to him, He'll forgive you. If you are a Christian or you believe in God and you won't repent of that, God says, just be sure of this, then your sin will find you out. He's asking you to repent and leave it. If you don't, he'll light it up in the sky. He'll display it to get your attention. They were out of control as a culture. Judges 21:25 said that Israel, in those days, there was no king in Israel. So everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Let me read you the Jack version. Judges 21:25, the Jack version. In those days, there was no leadership in America. So everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Lawlessness. Oh, we'll just do our own thing. And do we not live in a time when people say, I'm going to do what I want to do? Is our nation without control? It's tough going for a nation that turns its back on God. Secondly, we see this when status is reduced to ashes in verses 18 to 23. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery. Think of the mall. Think of a mall, you know, a shopping mall. I mean, I was in one last night. And think of this. God says, all right, I'm going to take away the finery. Next, I'm going to take away the store that sells the jingling anklets. Look at your Bible. Scarves and the crescents. Circle that one. Crescent moons. The crescents, verse 18. Actually, the crescents, you've seen them. And if you've been to a museum, or forget, you don't have to go to a museum, just look online. Have you seen those, for example, the Babylonian or Egyptian, they're moons, they're crescent moons. They wear them on the chest. And remember the Egyptian oxen? Remember the oxen and the cats would have a moon on the top of their heads. Did you know that? That's the ancient Uber is the name of the Babylonian god of ancient Babylonianism, of the moon. Babylon had 360 gods, one for every day. By the way, ancient calendars, including your Bible. Your Bible does not have a 365-day calendar. Your Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a 360-day calendar. That's a Babylonian, what's off the hexadecimal system, 360. In navigation, all 360. It's never changed. Are you with me? One of the gods for one of the days was the moon god. Islam, Muhammad adopted a Babylonian god's symbol, the crescent moon. On every mosque is a crescent moon. It's ancient. It's not new. It predates Islam by a zillion years, thousands of years. Think of that. So, God says, hey, listen, by the way, he mentions this in Jeremiah. We don't have time to get into it, but the women of Israel, and again, in their, in their wealth and leisure, they began to, listen to this, it says that they began to wear crescent moons as jewelry, and they baked wafers of cakes, it says in Jeremiah, and worshiped Tammuz, whose mother was Semiramis. Those of you who studied ancient history, Semiramis, her husband was a man you guys know from the Bible, Nimrod, Tammuz. And it's amazing. Tammuz, long story, but you gotta look into that sometime. Pretty bizarre stuff, because the women began to make an offering to Tammuz, and they baked cakes and dedicated them unto the Queen of Heaven, it says, who was the intercessor for Tammuz that brought him back from the underworld. And in that mythology, Tammuz was resurrected to live again. Sound familiar? Interesting. And so things are now turning to ashes. They're veils. Verse 19, bracelets, pendants, veils. Verse 20, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, And the headbands, these women are decked out, man. This is serious stuff. This is like Rodeo Drive. The perfume boxes, the charms, and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel, the mantles, the outer garments, the purses, the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans, and the robes. God says, I'm taking it all away. You're going broke. That's powerful. Then thirdly, look verses 24 to 26. When God leaves us to ourselves is the most tragic moment of all. When God says, that's it. Listen, throughout Scripture, there's a dangerous thing when God says, I'm done with them or I'm done with that person. And you say, God would never do that. No, God says he'll do that. Again, once again, Jeremiah is crying out to God. By the way, it happened with Moses a few times, remember? Crying out to God to intervene. And because of their rebellion, you know, listen, for those of you who don't know the Bible, you ought to read it, because God is so cool and so good and so sweet and so gentle. Because, see, you think, oh, he's a God of fire, brimstone, boom. You ought to read what got him to that. He keeps telling them for generations, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. It's kind of like the first time you got in trouble. First time you got in trouble, mom or dad or the school teacher said, don't do that. And just that move of their finger, don't do that. You felt like dying. You broke down in tears. Your heart was so sensitive and so soft. But then your ignorance overrode wisdom, and you kept doing it and doing it and doing it. You know what happens when you keep doing stuff like that? Listen, it's human nature, our fallen nature. We begin to think, I can get away with it. Yeah, I just say, I'll just tell him I'm sorry. It used to be in the old days, until you reached a point where that's it. And you can see the shock on some people. Well, I mean, I ripped this door off a bunch of times before. Nothing like this ever happened. Well, yeah, that's because the owner was being very gracious in your lawlessness, and now with your persistence decided to call the cops. So the cops come in and arrest you and take you off to jail. And you're going, how did this happen? Like you don't know. What happened was you got away with it to the point where your heart began to be hardened until you were able to just walk by and grab people's purse, take their keys. You're brazen, godless. You stay like that, and it eventually, if need be, for the moment, lead to murder. I had a police officer tell me, LAPD tell me, he said 10 years ago in LA, a man would come up to you with a gun, stick a gun in your ribs and say, give me all your money or I'll shoot you. And if you gave him all your money, could be $1.50 or $150, whatever, you give him your money, the guy takes it and leaves. They said, now they don't even talk to you. They just walk up, kill you dead, take your money. That's the thing. Kill you, take your money. They don't even ask. They don't have to ask. But where does that come from? A culture that has gone godless. You say, Jack, man, you're really on this. You're really pushing this. You know what? Explain this one. The turn of the century, there was a revival in New York City. The word of God was being preached. So many people got saved. Churches couldn't hold all the people. Did you know that? You can read this in the Encyclopedia Britannica. So many people got saved. Church attendance was so huge in New York City that the police officers had nothing to do. They literally broke up in groups of four. And they stood on street corners and they began to sing songs. The quartet was born from a revival in New York City. So don't say that it's not possible. It is possible. Wouldn't it be awesome if we had LAPD standing on street corners with their AR-15s and their combat gear, and they're singing, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. Wouldn't that be awesome? Can you imagine? Can you imagine some banger walking by? Hey, officer, praise the Lord. Yo, dude, awesome, Jesus! It could happen. It happened before. Wow. Verse 24 says, and so it shall be. Those are sad words when you're not walking with God. God says, all right, and so it shall be. Thus and so is going to happen to you, God is saying. When there's nothing to hold on to anymore because things are being taken away because we've demanded that we be left to ourselves. God, leave me alone. Can you imagine? God, leave me alone. I've often said this. I made it up years ago. If I made it up, if it makes any sense to you, then God gave it to me. It's not my own. But it dawned on me one time. When people reject Jesus, it dawned on me. Every human being will have at least one prayer answered in their life. Every human being will have at least one prayer answered in their life. When somebody says, God, stay out of my life. I don't believe in your son. I don't want to hear one more thing about you. I don't want to hear one more Christian talk about you. I don't want to see one more cross. So I want him off the mountaintop. You know what I'm saying? God's going to answer their prayer. And they're going to stand before him someday and he's going to say, I just did exactly what you told me to do. You didn't want me in your life. And because you didn't want me in your life, you will not have me in this life or in the life to come. Oh, by the way, that's called hell. Hell is where I'm not. God's not there. You don't want me. Think of that. Isn't that amazing? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know this is true. You lick the wall socket, you're going to get curly hair. You shouldn't lick the wall socket.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, So How's It Going? Part 3. Thanks for listening. And it's God's desire to bless us so that we can use what we've profited to bless others. So How's It Going? Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Many folks have followed Pastor Jack by listening to him on this radio program, and they might not even know that you can take full advantage of his teachings through other resources, including YouTube. Pastor Jack's channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and the playlist includes over 500 videos. There's the Get Ready series that goes into what and who is the Antichrist, Real Life TV. You can also catch up on past Happening Now episodes from his Facebook Live events on Bible prophecy and the last days, question and answer segments, Engaging the Culture, which looks deeper into the real cultural issues of our day, including abortion, transgenderism, racism, gun control, and border control. He also has videos about news updates, special events, marriage and family, and a whole lot more. Now, as you can tell, Pastor Jack is passionate about life and believes our relationship with Christ and his instructions on how to live the abundant life God's way should impact every area of our being. And God's Word, the Bible, speaks to the real life issues that we all face on a daily basis. So it's our hope that you head over to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And don't forget to tap that notifications icon to have immediate access to his latest videos. All that is also available through our Real Life app. If you'd like, you can find that app in your app store or at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you found our radio broadcast or any part of our ministry helpful in your walk with God, you can help support us on the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app or just go to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.